New look, new feel. What can I tell you? We're always trying to change things and make them better. If it doesn't make it better, I know we'll hear from you in the comments. So we can't go wrong. We've got like our own inbuilt immune system to bad change. It's called you. The comments section. And even those people who sit at home and go, I was going to comment, but I don't care enough. We get that feedback. You know, we get the vibes. And then we're like, oh, shit, we better change things back. Anyway, we're trying something new this morning, and as always, on a Wednesday, and for the last time, actually, Jack Mutlante.
Good morning.
Wah, 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 wah. So why is it your last time again? You've got so much other stuff that you're doing.
Yeah.
You're so busy, and you can't dedicate the 2 hours that no one else cares about in the week. I mean, who's clamoring for your 6 to 8 on a Wednesday morning?
Exactly.
And
the thing is, truthfully, like, we've been solving the world's problems every Wednesday since Jan.
I was quite looking forward to doing this every day for the rest of this year.
It's a lot of responsibility.
See, this is why I don't get married. Every time I get into a nice rhythm, someone fucks it up. It's never me. Yeah. All right? They always duck out. They're like, oh, I can't come anymore. I can't be with you. I can't. It's too much. It's a
story of
my life.
No, I feel like I'm the teenager that's finally passed matric, and you can't wait to get me out of the house.
No, I didn't say I wanted to get rid of you. Don't turn this on me.
I think it's just time for me to grow up.
What? Like you were being so childish here on this show. You made more sense than most people who've been on the show. What are you talking about? So Jack McClant's last show this morning, but you know what? Shit changes, like the set.
Yeah, yeah.
JP says, I missed a few shows. Put that back up. Won't happen again. It's good to be back. Entertain me, gentlemen.
We'll do.
Are you not entertained? What do you mean? All right. So today we have a bunch of really cool stuff. We started a discussion last week about people's entrepreneurial journeys, and when ever anybody used the word journey, I like immediately get freaked out because I mean it's like such a substitute for every other experience. Sorry, that experience being. Like, you know, people will say, for example, I had a bad day at work. And I immediately know what that means. You're like, you didn't have a fun time. Your boss fought with you. You were arguing about money. You didn't do something you were meant to do and someone caught you out on it or whatever. Makes sense. But if you said, my journey at work today was just not great. I'm like, what, the journey to work? Because a journey means the travel part of... It's come to mean everything, right? You get these people who are like, my life's journey. And just don't do that. Don't. You're not Marco Polo. You are not Magellan. You are not Scott and Peary and Amundsen, okay? You're not. You're not an explorer who's going into uncharted territory. You're not – who are those two who went off into the Wild West – and wrote all the books about it, and they discovered all these new animals in North America and all the rest. You're not those people. You're not. You're a middle management HR representative in a large South African corporation based in Sandton.
Yeah.
You don't have a journey, okay? Your journey is the N1. So stop it. I'm just like, don't pervert the language. We have words. Come on, Jack,
yes,
back me
do.
Up. Back me up on
we
this.
Do.
Like, this is such like, enough of this shit of journeys, okay?
It's an over inflated sense of self. Like, you're the center of the universe.
You're the hero in this drama, in this story, in this movie production that
right.
you think people will watch. No one is watching your boring career movie. No one, okay?
No.
No one's watching mine.
In fact.
No one's watching Jack's. No one's watching. No one even knows. Do you know what Tom Cruise does outside of his movies?
No.
Scientology. And that's fucking boring. So you know what? The camera doesn't follow him everywhere. And the reason the camera doesn't follow you anywhere, let alone everywhere, except on your social media maybe, is because you're boring. Yeah. That's okay. You know what we need? We need more boring people. Boring people who get stuff done.
Yep.
I would rather deal with 10 boring people today who know what they're doing, who are effective and efficient and don't have dreams about journeys and being the star in their movie and I'm making a difference in all these people's lives. Just like, how about get the balance sheet right or park straight in your parking or don't spill the coffee. Yeah. Like, these are very basic things that those people who are genying don't seem to understand. It's like, you're not getting the basics right, Mafalda, or whatever your name is. Let's focus on those. How about you worry less about the color of your shoes today because you think, I don't know, you're going to be Mary Jane and Spider-Man, and you worry about making sure that those teaspoons are nice and shiny. How about that?
Yeah.
Because that would be good for all of us. You know what? Jack can't do everything. I can't do everything. James and Flex can't do everything. So we need other people to do some of those things.
Yeah.
Some of those people are more important than we are. Some are maybe less important than we are. Doesn't matter. Mm. That's your place. It's not a journey. It's a job.
How does Animal Farm start again? All animals are
created equal.
Yeah.
Some are more equal than others.
There's the truth. In two sentences.
Well, I've always hated that because to me, what he's trying to do is he's trying to outline how socialism works. He's not really talking about equality at all. But I heard Kamala Harris. Oh, wow. I heard her trying to explain in an old interview because, you know, she hasn't done a single interview since she became the Democrat nominee. Not one interview. Kamala Harris has not spoken to the press once in 40 days, somewhere around there.
Did you hear the reasoning behind it?
Because she, when she opens her mouth, just shit pours out?
Well, that's our reasoning for it. But to my understanding, it's because if she were to do an interview or debate Donald Trump, it's only going to go south from there. Like, well, they think she's a bit insulated because she hasn't said anything on the microphone
in
a while.
They're embarrassed. It's like when you... you have a new girlfriend and she's not great looking and you don't want her to meet your friends. That's kind of what it's like. She's like, she's like the ugly girlfriend that you keep hidden away until there's that one occasion where you just can't. Like it's a family wedding or whatever. And secretly you're into her because you've got some weird kinky thing going on. Like, and she just is revolting and you bring her out of the cupboard or whatever she's in. You're like, said, you got to dress up today, Hildegard. And she comes with you to the wedding and everyone's like, oh, that's what's happening there.
They
don't want her in front of a microphone. They don't want her in front of a camera.
Yeah.
Anything that's not prepared speeches. And apparently she'll do a debate, but she wants to have notes next to her the whole time. She wants to be able to consult her notes. Sounds to me like someone who's got nothing between her ears.
Yeah, no, that's problematic.
I mean even, like, God bless her, but even Hillary, who everyone hates, right? Like, there's not a person in America who likes Hillary Clinton. There just isn't. There's no one. No one has ever gone, oh, you know, love Hillary Clinton. No one. Yeah, no one's ever said that, not even Bill.
Uh-huh.
And not even when he married her. He was like, well, I got to do what I got to do. But even her, like Hillary, you could put her in front. I'll give her credit, okay? You could put her in front of a camera or a microphone.
Yeah.
And Hillary will, like, she's got a brain. I don't know how good it is now, but back in her heyday, she could answer any question. And she'd have an idea. And she'd sometimes obfuscate a little bit, like politicians do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of them do it, right? They circle around things. They don't really answer the question. By the time they've given their answer, you seldom even remember what the question was.
True.
And they
In fact,
that.
That's the mark of a good politician, actually.
Sadly.
At least as far as
sadly
communication is concerned. If they can't, you know, juke and move, then you've got problems.
The best part of this is that there are now American writers who are busy saying that Doug Emhoff, who is Kamala Harris's husband, that he is the perfect man. And they're all swooning for Doug Emhoff.
Oh, no.
Now, Doug Emhoff.
Oh, no.
I mean, he looks like... he looks like the headmaster of a very average performing school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
like the school that just never wins anything. No sport, no cultural activities, no academic awards. It's like that school... In fact, every cartoon of every high school in America's headmaster is Doug Emhoff. But people are in love with the idea that because he supports Kamala, he's got to be a good guy.
He's a, what does TikTok call it? Sigma male. apparently.
Is that, yeah, Sigma.
Sigma, yeah. He's one of those.
Gen and it's Z, like, they like that word.
Yeah, my problem is, as you said, like, he does look like a very weak headmaster. One of those that would walk down the corridor and just get hit with a bunch of random stuff.
Yeah, people would throw
like,
their
no
books
one has
at him,
any respect for him whatsoever. Yeah. Like, every time I see a picture of him, he looks like he wants to say something, but he never does.
Well, he looks like he's worried that Carmela will send him.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think they're telling her to shut up, imagine how much shutting up he's been doing over the years. Anyway.
One more thing. I just wanted to find out. Like, America's only had male presidents.
Yeah, so it'd be
And it'd be first lady. First gentleman.
They've already worked this out. He would be the first. He's already called the second gentleman, which has got to be like the crappiest title. I would rather be Lord God of Shit Creek than second gentleman. I mean, first of all, it's such a put down to be second anything. Like, no one cares who came second. Name the person who came second in any event at the Olympics.
Yeah, I can't.
Right? No one. Crickets, even the South Africans. I think we got a silver.
Somewhere.
Somewhere, but nobody really remembers. Nobody remembers who is in second in command in a military unit.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers who the vice president under Ronald Reagan was.
Oh, shit, yeah, crickets.
Right? Yeah. Who was the running mate for Hillary Clinton in that election, in her election against Donald Trump? Who was her second, who was her vice president? So nobody knows. Mm. Nobody knows. The reality is that, like, it's the most humiliating thing to be second in anything, because it means you were that close to becoming first, but you missed it. History's going to condemn you to being like, oh, you're over there in the rubbish bin next to first.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, from third on, you weren't even in the running, so nobody really cares. But then to be second gentleman, I mean, no matter what kind of a guy you are, and listen, I'm no male dominant chauvinist, like, guys have got to run everything, chicks are dumb, like, you know, those fucking bros.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those guys. But there isn't a man in the world who appreciates being second.
No.
Especially not to a girl. I mean, if he does, there's something wrong with him. And frankly, what girl's going to be attracted to a guy like that?
I think that's the bigger question.
There isn't, again, like, you girls, please, if you're in the comments section and you disagree violently with me, please go ahead. I'd love to hear, if there's a woman anywhere in the world who honestly, when no one is looking and you can remain anonymous, honestly goes, you know, oh, I'm so attracted to that, like, weak guy. He's the guy for me. That weak guy who couldn't protect me from the postman throwing a letter a little bit too hard. Mm-hmm. That's the guy I find attractive.
Yeah, those are women that just, well, I don't know, they like that lady that you had on the show a few weeks ago, that's like a dominatrix. They have to be dominant women. Otherwise,
sure,
what's the point?
And by the way, I don't blame the girls. I mean, like, I think that there's a lot going on in society at the moment that makes it hard for women to say what they actually want.
Yeah.
Because there are expectations placed on them, often by other women, not just by men, but often by men. And then they put in this invidious position where they have to say something which gets them social points, but deep down inside it gets them no happiness.
It gets them nowhere.
And the same goes for guys, by the way. You know, all these guys who are running around going, you know, I want a strong, independent woman, and I love staying at home while my wife goes and does the, you know, the breadwinning.
Oh, good luck with that.
I'm like, you don't really.
Yeah, no, good luck with
that. Like, you're saying that because you know it gets you social cred. And, like, they're going to be people you don't know who'll go, oh, what a guy. Like Doug Emhoff, right? So I think that might become a verb, to Doug Emhoff.
Yeah.
I think it will be a thing.
Yeah.
Because we've been looking for a verb for that. We know what, you know, the others are. So now we've got a descriptor for that.
Yeah, we'll swap simp with Doug.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
On my way into work this morning, and I was early as hell, I don't know, I woke up like a flash this morning, about 3:45 of all times.
So yeah.
I was ready to go very early. We could have started the show at 5, frankly. And I noticed something about people on the road. It's probably nothing new. We've discussed this maybe at some point in the past, but it occurs to me that South Africans of all stripes, doesn't matter what kind of car these people are driving, right? You could be driving a fancy like 7 Series BMW. Mm-hmm. You could be in a sports car. You could be in a minibus taxi. You could be in any of these things. The hazard lights mean to all of those people, oh, I'm about to do something really stupid. Forgive me.
Yeah.
That's what hazard lights mean in this country. They don't mean, oh, careful, there's something coming up, or there was a pothole, or, oh, watch out, I'm just warning you in advance. What they are is saying, I'm going to do something illogical, irrational. I'm going to stop right in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
In other words, I have already thought I'm going to do this, but I'm going to push this button because that'll excuse me. It's like a get out of jail free card for people behind the steering wheel. Am
yeah.
I right?
Yeah. Yep. Like I've seen a couple of people, you'd be behind them and they'd be indicating in a certain direction. All of a sudden the hazards go on.
Yes.
And God help us all from that point.
Yeah.
Like minibus taxis, by the way, are the worst. Like they never use any of their signaling for what it's actually supposed to be used for.
Listen,
ever.
I do not want to do what every other person in South Africa does, which is just to like lay on the blame onto taxis. Taxis are the only people on the road who drive badly.
Oh, no, no, no.
Let me tell you, they have a very arduous and difficult job.
Yep.
I don't think that taxis are the worst on our roads. I think that there are a lot of people who I've seen driving, even this morning.
Mm.
There are a couple of people who I was like, we should give that person's license to a taxi driver.
Yeah.
Because that person shouldn't be driving.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sometimes guilty. You're sometimes guilty. None of us are perfect in the car.
Yeah.
But most of the time you try to keep your wits about you.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who, there was a guy who crossed from the right-hand side to the left and turned.
See,
and
that
put on
is
his hazards while he was doing it and crossed three lanes of traffic to let us know he was about to do something really stupid that he hadn't thought about until the very last minute.
That, to me, is the most frustrating thing that happens on our roads. And it happens way too often. You have a person change three or four lanes all at one go.
One
that,
go.
That is one of the most dangerous things you'll ever do on the road. And for whatever reason, it's commonplace here in SA. I don't know why. And
well, it's because we're undisciplined. And like, I say we because I'm also in that box a lot of the time.
Mm.
And you know, when I used to be really bad at road rage, I was one of those people who's constantly angry. I was bad for about 10 years. Horrible. And it used to get me into the foulest mood. And eventually I realized, like, this is on you, man.
Yeah.
I'm just being an idiot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also I started listening to podcasts.
Oh, okay.
And that calms me down. I'm listening to something sensible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm laughing or I'm paying attention. So my mind, my conscious mind is very focused on that material. And my autopilot is like, just be calm.
Yeah.
Calm. Think about this a little bit beforehand, but it's kind of an automaton mode. So I'm like, going here, let me remember to get over to this lane. I've very seldom in my life had to cross like more than one lane,
mm-hmm.
which means I'm still applying forethought before the turn off.
Yeah.
But it just drives me mad that like you can see someone who's really like basically they're struggling with day-to-day decisions. Like they don't know
where
they're going. They're not sure what time they have to be there. And then they are struck by these day-to-day decisions about turning left or turning right. And it's too much for them.
Mm-hmm.
You think, operating heavy machinery, maybe not for you.
Maybe not.
Some people it's not. Let's just face that.
And you know, it's also pretty annoying. Have you ever been driving someone somewhere, giving someone a lift, and they have to give you directions?
I've never given anyone a lift. I hate driving people around.
And then they wait like 5 meters before you're supposed to turn to tell you that you're supposed to turn.
Oh.
That is also like absolutely frustrating. Then you've got those people that don't understand that the further right you go in terms of lanes, the faster you're supposed to drive. You'll find someone in the fast lane doing 40 Ks an hour.
Yeah.
You idiot.
Yeah.
Because now I'm going to have to figure out some sort of evasive move. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I'm trying to pull up behind you, when you realize that you're in the wrong place and then you panic.
Oh, my God.
Ay, ay, ay.
So Raven says, and this is so spot on, those wankers on the road who want to be first all the time, those guys need to start calm. Listen, you write like these people drive, Raven. Your writing is like these people's driving, okay?
But anyway, she says she was hungover. So.
She says, yeah, is Raven the one who said, okay, yep. So Raven said in a comment when we just started the show, 6 a.m., which means, I mean, Edinburgh, what, they are an hour behind us.
Yeah.
So it's like 5 a.m. there.
Yes, yes.
And she said, good morning, 5 a.m. in Edinburgh, and I am hungover on a Wednesday.
On a Wednesday morning.
Listen, I'm in no position to give any life advice to you, Raven. You may be a much more successful human being than me. But I will criticize your spelling and grammar in that last comment. I do agree with you completely, by the way, because it's really dumb when someone in the traffic, and I do want to move on because I know this is probably for some people, it's like, ugh, such Joburg conversation.
Yeah.
When someone drives really fast past you on a two-lane road in Johannesburg, but you end up at the same robot.
Oh.
After they've sped ahead of you and they think they're such a big dick. And you get to the robot and you're like, hi.
Hi.
And then they never look at you. They look
ever. Ever.
Steadfastly look forward, like nothing happened. Nothing to see here.
And then you see a bead of sweat just like what, right there. Yeah, boom.
What a douchebag.
Like,
but,
hey.
But that moment is worth it, right? Like that moment's always, I love when that happens because you know at the next robot you're going to see them.
Mm.
They forgot. They go, oh, damn, I did that thing. Because it's probably happened to them before.
Yeah.
And then you win.
Yeah.
It's nice to win.
It's always fun when you pull up next to a VW GTI or whatever.
Yeah.
And you've got that
loud,
guy.
Yeah,
loud. That guy in the car.
And the music.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, I love it. So I, when I lived in Pretoria for a bit, Pretoria Street, always humble people that way. I love it because what I actually discovered is if you do 60 Ks an hour, you'll pass each and every robot.
Yes.
Like you won't have to stop. Then yes. You bump into the idiot in that GTI. You're like, hey.
Look at this. Gavin thinks he's being very clever. Gareth, you're running through black coat presenters like a cheap porno now, man. That couch almost seems fitting now. I love you, Jack. Catch you on the pod, dude. Well, Jack's got it. Listen, let me just tell you, I take your comment, Gavin, and I treat it with the contempt it deserves.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. But Jack has his own show, and it is on Tuesdays, and he's been interviewing some pretty cool people. You can go check that out at the podcast party. And you know what? Sometimes it's not that you run through co-stars. It's sometimes that those people fly the nest and start their own big things. And you know what, Gavin? Sometimes you got to let people do their thing and maybe they even become better than you at it. And it wouldn't hurt my feelings. It would be a very good thing indeed. We have launched over the course of, what, the last 11 years or so, some phenomenal talent. I mean, people who had never been in front of a microphone before and are now doing all the things. I love it.
Yeah.
I can't hold on to – you don't hold on to people. You don't keep people back when they've got to fly. Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And
thanks. I like the couch too, son of a bitch.
And, you know, a rise in the tide lifts all boats, man. That's the attitude you should have.
So,
legit.
I lost yesterday because, you know, I hate doing anything for my birthday.
Yeah.
But my one friend, who's a bit of a lunatic, he caught me at an odd moment on Friday last week, knowing that my birthday was coming. I was busy taking packets out of the car, had my phone like this, and he phoned me. I don't know if he planned it that way or whatever. He's like, hey, we're either doing dinner on Monday or dinner on Tuesday for your birthday. And I'm like, I tried to think of an excuse quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, I've just got to check the diary. Okay, Tuesday, thinking, well, that's the furthest. So it'll give me time to come up with something. Anyway, we all went out for dinner last night. Very civilized. I was back in bed by 10 o'clock. There was no drinking. It was a very sophisticated, decent affair, lovely food, nice people. It was a really cool thing. And I think what it's taught me is I've got to get over this birthday shit, like we discussed with Hanan on Monday. And I had a lovely day, by the way, on Monday. I went and did my health assessment, which I was very excited about.
That's very grown of you.
I tried to fill my day with everything that would not remind me it was going to be my birthday. And yet, it was terrific. I spent time with a lot of very cool people that I love to see. I felt good. I don't feel shitty. I was happy to wake up on that day. I was happy to get into bed and go to sleep on that day. I got things done. It's like, you know, I think my attitude to birthdays might be improving.
And what's interesting is you seem to be more invested in everyone else's birthday except yourself.
Yeah, I do. Like, I like other people's birthday because the focus is not on me.
Yeah.
But I'm getting better than that, I hope.
No, anyway, that's
common sense
a good thing.
Gareth, sit back, man. Yeah, but then the microphone isn't close enough. Common sense. Okay, we're still trying to figure out the studio, but we'll get there.
We will.
Alex says he was there last night. Just celebrate your damn birthday. All right, fine. RJ says, who hurt you, Gareth? No. No one. I like birthdays now. There was a period where I didn't. I didn't want to make a fuss. This is old. We talked about it on Monday. Go watch the show.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to go over it again. Bitcoin Butt says I'm getting soft. Cliff Central is like a school of excellence. That's why no one from here ends up on News 24, says Sanele. I wouldn't call Ben a lunatic. Well, Ben wasn't there, and it wasn't Ben who called me. But, you know, Ben also, I mean, like, Ben is the grumpiest old man ever in the history of humans. He really is. Like, he makes me look like a giddy 15-year-old because he is a 900-year-old man trapped in a, 36-year-old body or whatever. He is, really. There's no way around it.
And it doesn't help that he loves golf.
Oh, Sunil says, I love this. Sunil Osman, who we've had on the show a number of times. Sunil says, it sounds like celebrating your birthday is becoming a journey. Touche, man. Touche.
That
I like
was a good
it.
One. It is a really good one.
Says, the set looks really good, Gareth. All it needs now is a few bottles of booze like Bill Maher has in his set. Lol. Okay. Go somewhere warm, like the Pacific. What? No? Hang on, I can't. Yeah, go like a Pacific island and drink cocktails and coconuts. Get a really bad sunglass tan. No, can I tell you something? I'm not big on holidays. I thought about this, and I've now experienced enough to be able to say, the longest local holiday you can do, well, I can do. I'm not going to make rules for you.
Mm-hmm.
I can do 2 nights away. It's enough. 2 nights locally, even if it's far. Huh. 2 nights locally is enough. And we'll talk about this with Achi just now because Achi's coming in with the window seat. And he's going to tell us, of course, you can go to travel.co.za if you're thinking about this yourself. But I thought about it. So I can do 2 nights away locally, and that's enough for me.
Wait,
but I can do maximum, including travel, 10 days overseas. That's plenty.
So
more than that, I just can't do.
Now, you're saying 2 nights at the venue, right? Like, so you're not counting traveling days.
Including travel. Locally. I'm saying for in this
yeah,
country.
Yeah, yeah.
Including travel. 2 nights.
See, when I travel, I don't count the day that we're on the road. So if we're going to the Kruger National Park on a Thursday, that Thursday does not count in my book.
No.
So I'd need
three nights. You're a greedy person. Two nights, I'm an experience.
I'm all about great experiences. So the more time I have, the better. Like, I think a weekend is enough. Like, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that's enough.
You're greedy. I'm telling you. Just going back to the comments quickly, because there are a lot of things being said here. Gareth, I see your friend Roman is chief of staff for John Steenhuisen.
Hey, big news.
Yo, the internet went ballistic yesterday. Well,
Stupid.
When I say the internet, I mean like 25 extreme left-wing, deeply personally unhappy people.
Yeah.
Who you can name by name. You can just go and do a quick search. And the people who are most angry about this are the people who wish they had that job themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised that they would hate Roman because he is everything they are not. He is confident. He's a happy man. He's got a lovely wife. He's got great family. He's got, I think, 2 kids now. He just had another kid recently. Congrats, by the way, Roman.
Congratulations.
I've known him for just short of 10 years. When I met Roman, I hated him. I thought he was an opinionated son of a bitch. And then I looked in a mirror and I was like, who the hell are you to be calling someone else opinionated?
Yep.
I have to tell you, forget about Roman. John Stenay isn't lucky to have him. He's unafraid. He's not kowtowing to the internet like all of those people who criticize him would, because they're all weaklings. And I wish him luck. And long may he continue to drive those people who are going to be driven mad, mad on the internet. They are exactly the kind of people who get angry about everything because they're miserable. If you look into their personal lives, you will see that everyone who has a problem with him is a miserable person in their own time and space.
And the biggest difference between Roman and those people is that Roman actually stands for something.
Yeah.
Whereas those people are just looking for a reason to be mad.
And by the way, you know, here's a real revelation. Shocking news, but there's a lot that I don't agree with Roman about. I don't even agree with the name, the way he pronounces his name. I don't think it's Roman. I think it's Roman. But it's not my decision. And you know what? We can still be we can be okay with each other, even though his name is fucking stupid.
Exactly.
How about that, huh?
Look at that.
By the way, he's a diversity hire as well, because he's actually Moroccan, French, Arab. You know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so there's a bit of diversity for all those lefties whose heads are exploding at the moment.
But you
don't like him because he's like right of center. Just proving again, you don't really care about diversity, do you?
And
it's like that song, what's Leonard Cohen? But you don't really care for diversity, do you?
No.
No, you don't.
No. And the thing is, what I've quickly discovered about this internet era is that no one actually does any research whatsoever. So people just jump on the bandwagon. So we're hating on whoever. All right, cool, let's go.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that.
Well,
because you're going to be miserable.
Bitcoin Boot says, Gareth, your friend Siv criticized Roman. So get no, listen. So I can't do what? Now I mustn't be friends with Roman if I'm friends with Siv. But I can't be friends with Siv if I'm friends with Roman. What is this? Like childhood playground stuff? What are the chances that both of them are going to be at the same dinner table with me anyway? I could be friends with both of them. And if they don't like each other, not my problem. Like, what kind of friends do you have? Do you only have friends who agree with you? It's a bit lame.
Bitcoin Boots sounds like we should be in Buffy the Vampire Slayer's high school. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Mean girls.
Yeah, mean girls.
It's like, you're outside of the clique, outside of the crew. We don't chill with you. It's like, please, come on. Let's grow up.
Okay, look here. I've been gifted a plane ticket to your favorite place. I'm off to PE, says Audrey, to visit the family this weekend. Well, like I said, two nights is enough.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, get the hell out of there as quickly as you can. Oh, man. Let's just see. There's some other things here I wanted to get to. Gareth, did you get a prostate exam at Discovery? No, I didn't. Apparently, though, I did the blood test last year. They just didn't include the results in my points. So I didn't get the points. But you can do a blood test now where they check that. Mm-hmm. And then if the blood test says that there could be a problem, then you have to go for the... otherwise, just do the blood test for starters. And no, I didn't, because I did it last year and you only have to do it every 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I don't get any points if I do it anyway. And I don't see any point unless there's a point. You get my meaning? It's like I'm now in that mill. I'm one of the hamsters on the wheel that have to generate the points. Mm-hmm. In fact, Achi, who's sitting here, is going to come and do the travel seat with the window seat with us just now. He's one of the people who told me I had to open an account with them so that I could get the good flight deals.
Yeah.
And I listen to this man. He's one of the reasons that if I end up with a finger up my ass, it's because he said I can get good travel. All right. So just you be aware, like I pay attention. Achi, don't ever let it be said that I don't pay attention to you. All right. Is that the Roman who went to Russia? Yes, we had him on this show, like a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks
before
ago.
Before he was appointed to that position.
Yeah.
So it's very cool. All South African YouTubers live in the same house and stuff. RJ, probably. I'm not really on top of who's big in South African YouTube, but I don't know that they're making like international money. I don't think those guys are, you know, they're not like, they're, you know, Mr. Beast, who we've spoken about a couple of times on the show. And there are some people who work for Mr. Beast who live in this country and who are very, very impressive. And I've spent a bit of time with them. But I don't think South African YouTubers are making that kind of money. They're not anywhere near.
Nah.
You know.
So there are some that are making quite a bit of money. It's nowhere close to Mr. Beast, but you know, there's a bit of money out there.
Yeah.
I think as well, like, you know, the content that comes out from South Africa, and like, it's not everyone, obviously, but there's a lot of, it's fodder. Like, it's just, you know, knee slapping and laughing and low frequency jokes, but it's okay. It's okay.
There's a space for everybody.
There really is.
Everybody's allowed, even the boring ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so quick things before we get to the window seat. I know you wanted to talk about my favorite subject, nominative determinism.
Yes, sir. So you actually taught me that phrase on Monday.
Yes.
And it's been on my mind ever since then. So what I did was I Googled the etymology of people's names. And I wanted to see if there was
some sort of...
So
let's explain to people what nominative determinism is.
Yeah.
If, for example, your surname is Carpenter and you end up being a woodworker, then people would say that is nominative determinism.
Yeah.
If you are a hat maker and your surname is, what's the term again? Milliner. If your surname is Milliner, then that's nominative determinism. But even if you end up being called...
If you're a philosopher and your surname is Wisdom...
Or Socrates.
That.
Or Demosthenes.
There you go.
In fact, anything Greek, they'll say nominative determinism.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it kind of led me down a rabbit hole where I was trying to figure out what people's names mean.
Mm.
And there's an interesting difference in like vernacular names and European names, like Gareth and James and whatever.
Yeah, sure.
So I checked out James. Do you know what your name means, brother? Or at least where it comes from?
Not a clue.
Not a clue. Okay, so.
No, it's not, it doesn't mean awesome individual. No.
No.
That would be great.
No. Okay, so its origins, it comes from the Hebrew name Jacob, and it means supplanter. Can you believe that?
Supplanter.
Mm-hmm.
As in he comes in when someone else, like, for example, like, let's say your producer Ryan leaves for Ireland.
Yeah.
And you supplant his position. That's James. That's so nominative determinism.
Perfect example.
Okay, very good.
Oh, I died of laughter when I came across that. I was like, look at that.
Makes a lot of sense.
Okay, let's have a chat about your name, Gareth.
I know what it is. It's Welsh, and it means gentle.
Well... According to Google.
Which is not, Well, that's not right, I mean, like, that's definitely not how that ended
definitely
up.
Definitely not right.
Gentle.
Well, yes, the name Gareth has its origins in the Welsh language.
Which, by the way, is not even a language. It's just a collection of consonants.
Yeah.
And some of the Welsh words are so long, even Welsh people go, fuck it.
Yeah, we'll skip that one. So it's derived from a combination of two elements, right? Gwaredd, which means spear, right? And Reol, which means rule. So your name loosely translates to spear rule.
As in Mkhonto isizwe.
That's it.
Okay, so basically I should be MK.
Yes, you should.
You're going to call me MK from now on.
Seriously.
Sizobadubula. Bazobalegadubula. How do I do? Huh? Am I right?
I love it.
Okay.
Put it here. Oh my MK. God, that was great. I love it.
Sizwe. What am I? Mkhonto isizwe.
Yes.
So is that really what it means? Because I was led to believe it was some weak ass Gareth. Gentle, kind, or was that in some book designed only for women to read?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Holy hell. Okay, I prefer this.
Right? Spear rule. Mkhonto isizwe. There you go.
I like that.
I love it too. So, naturally, I had to check my name as well.
Of course.
Jack.
No, but your other name.
Okay. Yeah. So, well, I mean, that those names are vernacular. So, Tato Keketso. Tato means will. So, the will of God. Gegezo means addition, but that's the Sotho name. So there's subtle differences in Sotho languages, so Sepedi, Setswana, and Sotho. So in Sesotho, when you add something, wa oketsa, right? No, in Sotho it's eketsa, wa eketsa.
Mm-hmm.
And in Setswana it's to oketsa, which is why there's Gegezo and koketsa.
Okay.
Those are two.
No one's ever explained that to me. I doubt I'll remember. But
right? But the cool thing, what I picked up is a lot of our names we use in everyday language. So for argument's sake, Mpo, which means gift,
right,
can be used in any kind of sentence. I've never heard someone say, yeah, I was thinking of Garething, something like that. You get what I mean?
Right, I got you.
And that difference to me makes European names slightly more interesting because you kind of have to research where they come from. Whereas with our names, when you just say like Tato, everyone knows what Tato means. There's no mystery behind it.
But also with Tato, they very seldom can really screw that up internationally.
Oh,
that's a good name because almost all the other names, whether it's in Setswana, Zulu, Sepedi, Afrikaans, the rest of the world screws that up badly.
Like big time.
Yeah, so at least Tato, they can't screw it up too badly.
Too badly. Like my...
But the meaning. So in terms of yours...
Oh, Jack.
So Jack, yeah. Let's just look at that.
So Jack means God is gracious.
Huh.
And it comes from, funny enough, it was a nickname for John. That's how the name Jack came up.
Right.
Right? And, you know, it's been attached to a bunch of other words like jackhammer, cheap jack, and wada wada. So it actually meant the smaller version of whatever that thing is. So if you first had a hammer, a jackhammer was the smaller version of that.
I must irritate you because you've got such issues with the height.
I really don't. I'm really comfortable. Have you seen my Twitter handle? It's @Jack_5'4". I've got no problem with my height whatsoever.
I'm kidding. Carl DeSantos says, James, from the Greek, jamis tholos, meaning afraid of technology.
Ah, yes.
Very good, very good. There's some very good names in here too. A friend of mine's dad was a judge, and his surname was Law.
Wow. See?
That's amazing.
That is cool.
I know a vet called Dr. Barker. See? This is good. This is good stuff.
It really is.
RJ says, by that standard, some people's surname should just be Duis.
Yeah.
I like that too. That's interesting. Last night, says Naeem, my sister and I were talking about how all three of her names mean happiness, joy, etc. But she's quite an unhappy, miserable girl.
Oh.
Snaya, that's terrible.
That is terrible.
All right, very good. Got some nice ideas in here.
Mm.
I always find it hilarious, the things that people decide to call their kids, and when their kids end up like embodying that name, they're like, oh, it's so unfortunate. And I'm like, but you gave them that name.
Yeah. Like, I think the most unfortunate name I've ever come across is Matlakal.
Oh, shame.
Which means, you know, rubbish.
Shame. That's very bad.
Yeah, but, you know, so it means, like, sure, it means rubbish, but at the same time, it means leaves, right? So I think most parents say Matlakala to mean leaves.
Yeah, but Matlakala could also mean you're like trash.
Like you're just trash. Absolutely trash.
So Mix is trying to start the trend with MK Cliff. Okay. We'll get there.
Yeah.
At some point. I don't think it's going to happen today. I had a dentist called Dr. Pallet.
Wow.
That's pretty wild.
Okay. That is pretty wild.
But it's not spelt the way Pallet should be spelled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
P-A-L-A-T-E would have been better. And my married surname is Spring and I'm a farmer. There we go, Bronwyn Spring.
Hmm.
I like that. Okay. I love this. We could play this game all day.
We could.
Nominative determinism. Look it up and you'll be surprised how many people you know have a name or a surname that relates to what they do and who they are.
Mm.
It's fantastic.
It's actually really
all
cool.
All right, let us welcome none other than Achi into the show. He's no stranger to the show. We're going to do a little bit of the travel seat, the window seat. I don't know why I keep calling it the travel seat this morning, probably because we deal with travel.co.za. And if you haven't been to travel.co.za, you are missing out on some pretty damn awesome stuff. Achi Adams is the General Manager of Marketing at Travel IT Global and Tourvest Travel Services. And you can find out everything you need to know about your dream holiday by going to travel.co.za. And Achi, after all the terrible things I said about you just now, he's back. Do you like is it better for you on the...
Much better.
This
much
is comfortable, right?
Much more. I just told James now. No. He should have actually told me. I'm traveling later and my traveling pants are green.
Oh, nice.
So I was going to wear green pants.
Yeah. You see, if you wear green on this set, you end up blurring into the background and then it'll look very weird because you'll look like just a torso. Yeah,
getting ready for Paralympics.
All right. So what are we talking about today?
Give you an update, some news roundup from around the world.
Lekker.
And our next campaign, advertising, or media campaign for some specials for next month.
Awesome.
To give you an update on that.
We love a special.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Okay, so the latest travel news. Achie's going to give us some updates. Let's just start off in Europe.
You said where you want to start.
Well, I know it's expensive.
Can we get back there?
No, I'll tell you why. Because Europe is now obviously going to the off season.
Yeah.
Which is for us a little bit better because it should be a little bit cheaper.
Yeah.
But of course, Europe is expensive. They just had the Olympics in France. I get pictures from all the rich people that I follow on Instagram enjoying themselves on yachts and doing cool things in the Mediterranean. And obviously that looks super sexy, but how within reach is it for us?
Well, firstly, it is slightly cheaper this time of year, but more importantly, it's less crowded.
Mm. Mm.
If you've ever seen any European capital during the peak summer periods, it is chaos.
Hell.
So much so, over-tourism has become a word.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the European markets, a lot of them, I just got the snippet today, another capital, Edinburgh, is now imposing a tourist tax.
Yes, and we were learning just the other day about Barcelona.
That's right.
You said that they're not allowing any more bed and breakfasts,
Airbnbs.
And they're limiting the number of hotel rooms. And
yeah.
These are the things that they're subtly trying to do to restrict the number of people who are coming in and out of their towns because it's wearing the place down.
There you go. That is actually in Barcelona.
Look at that.
Mm.
This isn't tourism. It's an invasion.
How's
bloody
the other
xenophobic
one?
Barcelonans?
Water pistol shooting at tourists at restaurants.
Wow. Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, that's their protest action.
Ungrateful bastards.
So that is a sight you would have seen, you know, in many European cities.
Sure.
Not just Barcelona.
Okay, so
Italy,
Edinburgh you said as well, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Italy, for example, in Italy, the entire country gets an entire month off.
Sure.
And for that month, the whole country's off for them to explore their country and be on leave.
Mm.
And now they're seeing all of these tourists. It's just,
oh, man.
So I can understand it,
yeah.
But I also don't understand it because it's kind of a problem. We'd love to have some over-tourism in South Africa.
Well, I know that South Africans also complain when, for example, we have, you know, people come here with dollars and pounds and euros. And they go to these five-star places that we can't afford.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think justifiably South Africans are upset about that. We got a little bit of our own back just around COVID because we were able to go there, drop their rates. Now we've maybe got a taste for that. But it's a difficult problem because you want the tourists.
Yeah.
They are an engine, especially for a country like us.
Yeah.
It's an engine of the economy and we can't disregard that stuff. But at the same time, you know, you kind of want your country to also be for you.
Yeah, I agree 100%. But I think there's also a lot of lodges that we have because, I mean, South Africa promotes itself as one of those safari destinations. There are a lot of lodges that cater exclusively for the international trade.
Sure. Mm.
The others, the way they change it up is they charge a rate for international tourists and South Africans pay a different rate to make it more affordable for them. But they will always give preference. If two people call, one international tourist, one local, they're going to take the one that's paying more.
Of course.
But we've got a lot of lodges, enough to cater for both and more. Places like Cape Town, I think they complain about us.
Yeah, they
know,
do. They
in
don't
December,
like it. Yeah.
They see a Gauteng number plate, they give you, you know, that side eye.
Funny look, yeah.
Funny look, no. And you see them, eh?
Well, Durban Dope says in the comments there that Cape Town, the prices are getting ridiculous for the locals. But that's obviously property, which you can't do anything about. I'm sorry, Durban Dope, you just have to get richer if you want to buy property in Cape Town. What else?
Yeah.
What must I tell you? Yeah. All right, so let's just look at Europe because you mentioned Barcelona and Edinburgh. Let's just talk about Amsterdam for a second because that's a place a lot of South Africans I know have gone to work, they've gone to live, they've gone on holiday. It seems like a very welcoming, friendly place. The people there are really cool. But also becoming over-tourismed.
Yes, and so much so, the protests there have got a different angle. You've got the tree huggers that are protesting, and there you see their protests in Amsterdam.
Yeah,
they glued themselves to that bridge or that lock and handcuffed themselves there to prevent the cruise ship from entering. obviously, and why it makes the news, obviously, from a travel perspective, is all of those 3,000, 4,000 cruise passengers are now affected. And can't get off the boat and see the city, and these are, you know, the climate activists. I think
that looks like an elderly woman there.
Yeah,
that's glued herself. I don't see why they don't just
why?
Ram her.
Yes.
Like I don't have to she's obviously in the way. I don't know if that's maybe her daughter or a friend's daughter or something like that. Those two people are probably not going. You weigh up them versus the 3,000 people on the ship. It's an easy decision.
Yeah. And I also want, I mean, this is Rebellion Extinction, right?
Oh, I hate them.
So they're protesting, you know, the cruise ships are polluters and stuff like that. What is that green or yellow smoke doing?
That's what I was... And my biggest problem is most probably they drove.
Exactly. Oh, well, it's Amsterdam, so they probably rode a bicycle.
Oh, yeah, I mean, what's their obsession with glue and handcuffs? Like, they keep gluing themselves everywhere.
Yeah, like it can't... We can't
the funny thing is, too, that these people are total hypocrites. Like, if you gave them 10 to 20,000 euros, they'd go on holiday. And holiday might involve quite a lot of carbon.
Yeah.
Correct.
And they wouldn't be complaining about that if you gave them the money and sent them on a holiday. But it's like, this is their way to get attention.
Yeah.
It does get a lot of people uptight in Europe, though. There's a lot of these protesters in Europe. I don't think you'd ever get them in South Africa. We'd just drive over them.
Yeah.
No, we've got real problems.
In the UK, it's like every weekend. Yeah. There's a protest somewhere.
Now, listen, we spoke about this on the show, but those wildfires in Greece were pretty terrifying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, last year it was more than just one country. This year, so far, it's just Greece and around the surrounding areas of Athens. As you can see there. And, you know, this was about 2 weeks ago, this photograph. But I've just seen yesterday as well. They're still raging, not just in Athens, but now in other parts of Greece. It's because of the dry air and the heat waves that they're experiencing. And now there are other places in Europe, places like Turkey, northern Italy, that have put warnings out as well. And, you know, the thing about this is I'm not saying don't go there. I mean, obviously go there, but, you know, you can have a different type of holiday.
Yeah.
2 years ago, when they had those massive fires in Turkey, you had thousands of people stranded. It got to a point where in the beach areas, the fire had come so close that people took their bags, and should have brought photos, took their bags, ran out of the hotel, and the safest place was on the beach. Wow. And they had to camp out on the beach for a day or two until they were rescued.
Wow.
That's horrible.
Make sure you have travel insurance. That's all I'm saying.
And that's not the kind of holiday you can prepare for, right?
No, absolutely.
There's no way that you know what to do if that happens. So, you didn't bring enough beach clothes.
Yeah. Wildfires making news, obviously, as well. So,
All right. So, let's talk about a few of your specials.
I know you don't want to talk about it. You're probably avoiding it. But it's something for people to keep an eye on. Yes. Mpox is real. All right.
Tell us.
The World Health Organization. It's just something for us to keep an eye on, and I'll tell you why. The World Health Organization officially, I mean, what the wording they've said is they've declared the Mpox outbreak a global health emergency. They've declared it. Okay, cool. It's in Africa predominantly. Since the start of the year, there have been about 19,000 cases. 19,000 cases. South Africa accounts for 24 of those.
So in other words, it could get in our way.
And from a travel perspective,
you might have to have the tests.
There's going to be screening at airports. This is how it starts. They do screening. If it gets bigger, it moves to something else.
Yeah.
For those African countries, this week they've started delivering vaccines. So let's see where it goes. Just something to keep an eye on.
All right. Well, I mean, listen, I'm pleased you brought it up because I wouldn't have even thought of that.
One other thing, you know, in South Africa, another day goes by, another strike possibly on the cards.
Yeah.
Air traffic navigation systems.
Uh-oh.
ATNS. There's no strike. Let's clear that up. But they're in wage negotiations.
Oh, and that could cause a lot
of
trouble.
So if it doesn't go their way, there's a possibility of a strike. But they are an essential service, so we'll see what happens with that.
Do you have like a war room at the office where you guys get these updates and you... Because you've got thousands of people, companies, massive clients that you guys service from all over the place. You have to be able to give them this info.
Absolutely. I mean, it's called duty of care.
Right.
So it's not necessarily a war room, but we've got technology that helps us with this. Something happens not just in South Africa, anywhere in the world, and a traveler is impacted. It's with the technology. Well, firstly, we get the update. What is happening? What is the impact? It's got a scoring as well, you know, in terms of severity. And we easily, at any given time, I could tell you, in London right now, we have 700 passengers. Here's a list of all of them. Here's their contact details. Let's SMS all of them. Let's WhatsApp them.
It's incredible.
We can do that, like, you know, fairly quickly. The technology helps us. That's why the duty of care is really important. And you have a plan in place to be able to, if you need to bring them back home, what is the plan? There's no direct flights. Bring them via this, via that. And the guys are so quick. And it's 24 hours that they're able to do that through our emergency call center.
All right. So can we talk specials now?
Well, I won't give you details of the specials. But I will tell you, in the leisure world right now, globally and South Africa as well, there's a growing trend. And it's growing really fast for, you know, fans to travel to their favorite spots, right?
Oh, so hell yes.
You're a fan of Game of Thrones. It's a bucket list thing for you to say, I want to go to Croatia.
Yep.
I want to see where they filmed it. Mm-hmm. And it's not just fans of movies or TV. It's music fans. We don't get a lot of concerts here like we used to. You know, people are going to see Coldplay or Adele or whatever it is.
Taylor Swift.
Aye. They're traveling for those kinds of things. We thought, let's be a little bit different for next month. We're going to go with famous streets.
Okay. Mm.
So I've made a mention. I brought some photos of you. I mean, everybody, if I ask you famous streets around the world, what's the first one you think of?
Well, Fifth Avenue, New York.
For shopping.
Yeah.
Right?
Carnaby Rodeo Street Drive in
California.
What was it?
Rodeo Drive.
Right. So we've put together all of those and more, obviously, and with the reason and a deal, there'll be a deal. So the deals, it only starts from next week, from the 1st of September. So that's why I'm not going to give you a deal, but people know what to expect, right?
Let's have a look.
So first one we've got is Abbey Road.
That's where the Beatles famously did their album cover.
Correct.
Mm. And they crossed that zebra crossing.
Yeah.
There we go. That's the one. Ah, oh, what a picture.
That's in London. And if you go to London, you see a queue of people waiting to take that photo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's unbelievable how big the Beatles still are.
Mm. Jeez, that's cool. Okay, that's very cool. And you can still go there, but you have to line up.
Yeah, it's small lines, like 10 people or whatever. I mean, it's the same. I mean, London, New York, these are popular places, so they'll have a lot of streets. I was surprised. I went to 221B Baker Street. That is the address of Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And I was surprised is there's actually a Sherlock Holmes museum right there.
Oh. Mm.
There's a Bobby waiting to take you for a tour. Uh-huh. And there's about 10 people in a queue.
Nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
Just by the way, that photograph of the Beatles, it was actually, John was like, no, I just want to go to the pub across here. I'm not really. That's not an album cover. Don't worry about the album.
Paul's got no shoes on.
Come on, lads. Let's go. Take some drugs.
Come on, lad. Got a chicken and chips.
But that's very good. Okay, that's a good one to go to.
And then we've got, Bangla Road next.
Oh, yes.
If you don't, those of you that don't know, Bangla Road is
put up the picture there, boys.
It's in Phuket. Yes. There we go. And
you're never really sure which ones are the men and which ones are the women.
I'm pretty sure they're all lady boys. I've been there. Interesting. I mean, this is the nightlife.
District.
So this is the nightlife. It's the main street in Phuket. Everybody goes here. And it's lined with bars and pubs and, as you can see, some entertainment as well.
Now, what's amazing about this picture is that the women, in inverted commas, are expressing all the interest. Those guys are totally disinterested.
Just what? There's so many.
It's the opposite of South Africa. South Africa, this is the other way around.
The most interesting person on this photograph, for those that are on the YouTube, the guy on the extreme left holding up a menu.
Oh, okay.
It's a menu.
What's on the menu?
It's for the different types of shows he has to offer you.
Oh, right. This is where you get ping pong and all that.
Correct. Okay, got you. So with the pricing and everything, and if you say yes, you say, follow me. And he takes you through one of the alleys to one of the back places. And it is an experience. You got to do it.
All right. So there's Bangla Road.
So Bangla Road is during the day, you can buy some stuff. It's pretty much closed. But at night, it's all action. And it's 7 days a week.
Yeah, it's a massage with a happy ending.
There you go.
Well, no need to go straight to that, Jack. But okay. Guess where Jack's next holiday is booked for?
Come on!
What other streets do we have?
New York, you mentioned Fifth Avenue.
Yes, sure.
You got Wall Street from the movie Wall Street.
Absolutely.
Broadway.
Broadway's good, yeah.
Mm. That is exactly. Broadway and 7th, where they meet, is Times Square.
Times Square, yes.
And that's me. I love that place. I know that place so well. That's your photograph.
In an empty Times Square. Beautiful. I had to put it up.
What time was that?
People don't believe me. That was at about 12:45 in the morning.
Okay.
And the reason it was like that was because it was a major storm, lightning storm, that only ended at about 12 o'clock. But it emptied the road.
Mm.
Achi, that's one of the most incredible pictures I've ever seen of that place because it's just you.
Just me.
I mean, usually this is like that scene from that Tom Cruise movie, right?
Correct.
Where he's in the middle of Times Square and there's no one in
there. No one there.
You
can see there's obviously a blurry, there's some cars driving by, but there's no people around.
That's unbelievable. What a picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
I love that area. I mean, I just up where you're looking downtown there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you just back up from where you are, there's that TKTS where you can buy tickets for any show. And then behind that is a place called the Majestic Deli.
Yes.
Where you can go for the best bagel and bagel with lox and cream cheese in the whole world.
Jeez, New York bagels, there's nothing like it.
Oh, my God. Wow.
You know what's the secret? It's the water.
Yeah.
It's the water.
Really?
Water.
Yeah, the water.
Water.
So the water in New York. So if you want a New York bagel and people in LA want it, they actually ship water from New York to LA to make bagels and you get a proper New York bagel.
That is so American.
That
is so American.
If you've had a New York bagel, there's no other bagel that tastes like it.
Yeah.
And they say it's the water.
Damn right.
Okay, after that.
Yeah, I have a coffee.
We got the Champs-Élysées.
Oh, I wonder where that is. Could it possibly be in Paris?
That's
in Paris? The Champs-Élysées.
There we go, guys.
There is under the
Arc great de Triomphe.
Arc de Triomphe, which was put up for Napoleon.
Yep. So this is the very famous street in Paris. The World Cup, Rugby World Cup, the Olympics were there, and you've seen Olympics was a cock-up because they actually closed this road to pedestrians with all of these barricades. If you wanted to cross the road, you had to walk two blocks up, then cross and walk two blocks down. It was a bit chaotic, but in any case, it's fantastic to be able to do that.
By the way, just back from this picture on the right-hand side is where the president lives, in the Élysée Palace.
Yeah. Mm.
Macron and his husband. And I mean, wife.
nice one.
But that is a beautiful city. Laid out.
It's amazing. It's amazing, guys. So they've got one more photo from Paris. On the street is that. Now, that looks like a Louis Vuitton case. It's actually the Louis Vuitton Hotel.
How magnificent. Hmm.
They made the hotel to look like a Louis Vuitton case. It's not yet open. I think it's opening in the next few months. But yeah, it's unbelievable. When we were there, they were still putting up the fascia when we were there for the rugby last year.
It's not my style of architecture, but I do appreciate that. That's very beautifully done.
It's there on brand.
Yeah.
Totally.
I would love to see what it looks like inside.
I'm sure it's very 5-star.
Mm. Absolutely. That is on the Champs-Élysées.
The only building in Paris that I know for a fact is hideous to behold, but some people like to look at it, is the Pompidou Center, which is like everything that should be inside is outside. And everything outside is inside. It's a very weird looking place. But Paris is just, and it's like a feast for the eyes.
Oh, yeah. And you can walk for days.
Oh, man.
It's like Rome a little. You can just walk for days.
Even watching the Olympics, I was suddenly reminded, and normally I would never watch any cycling events, but in Paris, you get to see these guys, and they did various running and cycling events through the streets of Paris, and you're like, God, every view is just perfect.
Mm.
Stunning.
So lovely.
So we're going to have some deals to Paris for those that are going to be interested.
Very good.
In it. And then last but not least, Sheikh Zayed Road. Let's show the before photo.
Right.
So this is the main road in Dubai. You can see the road over there and see one bus and one car there probably.
Yeah.
That's the old World Trade Center.
How far back was this?
1991.
No
way!
It's a black and white picture.
That is not well. I want to give it more effect, but it's actually brown, the black and white, because it's a desert, guys.
Sure. That's an amazing contrast to now.
So, I'll tell you one before we go to the next photo. If you're driving down, probably another 5 km, there's a kebab shop called Al Ustad.
It's still there.
That's been around since 1970. It was all on its own, like a little building, and it's still there.
Oh, wow.
And if you go inside, it's not fancy. It's like an ordinary restaurant. But he's got a million little photos of all the famous people that have eaten there.
That's very
And here's the funny thing. It's Dubai. Expect it to be expensive. It's dirt cheap.
Wow. And that would be probably overlooked by most people.
100%. Mm.
But that's why we get you here, Achie, because you can tell us about these things and we won't miss out on them. So show us the after picture of Dubai.
After picture of Dubai.
Oh, my goodness.
So, interesting fact, the average height in terms of all of the buildings on Sheikh Zayed Road, you can see you've got little buildings, you've got tall buildings, but the average height is 100 floors.
100?
Average.
So, the average is double the size of Sandton's Big Tower.
Yeah.
That's the average.
It's an incredible place. I mean, that almost looks like those two pictures, a view of our distant past and a view of the future that we haven't even got to.
What did they do this in 25 years?
That's phenomenal.
That is, oh my God.
It's unbelievable. I mean, and you understand why people say that 80% of the world's cranes, at one point, 80% of the world's cranes were in Dubai.
Yeah.
80, of the world's.
Mm-hmm.
That's phenomenal.
In one place.
Don't tell me that you don't have a little bit of curiosity when you see a picture like that.
And that Sheikh Zayed Road, as you can see there, it's two going one way up and one way down. This is the road that obviously joins Dubai to Sharjah and also to the Sharjah Emirate and Abu Dhabi. But that's about 8 lanes.
Wow.
On each side.
Wow.
And they've got a metro, as you can see, as well. So it's unbelievable. Right. Something to behold.
There's a place to put on your list as well.
So, yeah, that is obviously Dubai, and we'll have some great specials for Dubai as well. Mm.
So what you got to do is go and check out travel.co.za, because Achi can't give us all of this in the limited time that we have. But there's always new stuff on there. And if you are in the fortunate position where you're planning ahead, you know, a lot of people just leave it to the last minute. But if you're planning ahead, that's when you get the good deals.
Yeah.
So if you look at it and you're going, September next year, now you could pick up a good deal. Go and book it now. Do that at travel.co.za. Achs, anything else?
No, that's about it, eh?
Lekker.
Yeah, this is
nice
good,
to see you, man.
Good to see you.
Next year, I'm see you on your show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Achi Adams, guys. Is, of course, from TTS. And you can go and find out all the deals and all the details on travel.co.za. Thanks, Achi. Nice to see you. We'll be back in a minute.